Dear friends, turning your prayerful attention once again to the words that I read to you in your hearing a little earlier there in the Gospel of Mark, the chapter 10 and the verse 46 to the verse 52. Those words concerning the healing and the making whole of the blind man, Bartimaeus. Well, let's just consider the setting that is before us this afternoon as we come to this most instructive passage of God's holy word here in the Gospel of Mark, the scene and the setting. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to the end of his earthly ministry. He ministered for some 3 years with his disciples, teaching them all kinds of things and going around doing mighty acts by the power of God, being God himself, indeed able to perform these many things. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is just passed through Jericho, and he's about to enter Bethany, and then go to Jerusalem to be crucified, to be put to death by the hands of wicked men, but that he should suffer according to the Scriptures, that he should die for his people's sins according to the Scriptures. Now, if you notice in the verse 5, he is very graciously but firmly corrected the disciples, particularly two of them, James and John, who were very high-minded, wanting great elevation when they enter heaven, wanting a position, one on the left, one on the right, and also their mother, as we read elsewhere in the Gospel of Matthew, their mother also wanting them to have a great position of esteem in the kingdom of heaven. Notice in the verse 35, this is the setting, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we shall desire. What an attitude, what a frame of mind. We want you to do whatever we ask. Well, the Lord Jesus, he replies, verse 36, and he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on thy left in thy glory. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he replies to them here, and you notice in the verses that precede, the verses that follow, he tells them who will be the greatest, who will have the right to sit on his right hand and one on his left. He says, it's not for me. But he says the one thing, he says, those who have a servant-like attitude, those who are servants in this life, are those who will be highly esteemed. The Father will honor those who indeed are servant-like. And he uses himself as an example. He said, even so, the Son of Man. Notice the verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Think of it, here is the creator of the whole universe, God the Son. What has he come to do? He's come to suffer. He's come to be a servant. He's come to lay down his life for sinners. He's come to give his life as a ransom for many. We, his creatures who have sinned against him, he's come to give that which is most precious, to give his own life as a ransom. Now you notice in the verse 36, he says to these high-minded, glory-seeking brothers, James and John, he says to them, what would ye that I should do for you? And it's very interesting. He asks blind Bartimaeus the same question. Notice the verse 51. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Same question, isn't it? What should I do for you? Now, of course, blind Bartimaeus, he asks something before that. Jesus, thou Son of David, will thou have mercy on me? And we want to think about that. Of course, blind Bartimaeus wanted his sight, but he was seeking something else. And this is the great lesson behind all of this. This is the lesson we all need to hear. What was blind Bartimaeus seeking? He was seeking mercy before anything else. That's what he was seeking. He knew he needed it. And I hope this afternoon that if you are without the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will seek that mercy. Because that is the greatest need for every soul. For all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. And we need the mercy of God that is in Christ Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world in order to give people mercy. Mercy comes at a great price. A price had to be paid. God doesn't just say, well, your sins are forgiven, without a cost being met. A price, a great price had to be paid, and it was paid there at Calvary for all that believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some remarkable things that we, God willing, will observe this afternoon with regards to this man, Bartimaeus. Now, what actually took place on this day was real. These are not fictitious events. These are true recorded events. They took place just outside of the city of Jericho. Jericho was only some 18 miles northwest of Jerusalem, not so far away. And the Lord is on that road, on that way now to Jerusalem. He's going to pass through Bethany, and he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He's got more miracles to do, all of them proving that he is God the Son. But he has one miracle to do here. And there is a great miracle with regards to what is already taking place in blind Bartimaeus. Miracle, perhaps we're not aware of it. This man was not so blind. He was not spiritually blind. He understood who the Lord Jesus Christ was. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. You see, he understood, he knew who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And therefore the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, thy faith has made thee whole. Now, faith is the gift of God. He knew he was dealing with. And that's very important. Do we know who we are dealing with, or rather who is being spoken of here in the Scriptures? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And that is who the Son of David was being referenced with regards here. The promised one, the Messiah, the sent one. Now Jericho, this place where they have just passed through, was once a cursed city. Remember in the days back when the people of God were entering into the land and the walls of Jericho fell down, and well, it became a cursed city. And cursed was any man that we are told that tried to ever build that city. It was a cursed city. But in the days of Elisha, remember what Elisha did. The waters of that city were entirely cursed. You couldn't drink that water. If you drank the water, you would die. There was something in the water. And Elisha is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he healed the waters there, people were able then to live and to dwell in that city since the days of Elisha. And it was no more a cursed city. But this is what the Lord does for his people. God's people are pictured as a city. We know this from the book of the Revelation. And they were once a cursed people, cursed under the law, because we have all broken God's law. But God, as it were, he restores us back to himself. And one day we shall be a city, a people that shall dwell with him forever and forever. We read in the book of the Revelation how John, he sees the people of God coming down from heaven, a bride prepared for the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what a wonderful picture. Jericho, you see, was restored. Elisha, as I said, foreshadowed the Lord Jesus Christ. Elijah foreshadowed who? John the Baptist. Of course, John the Baptist is the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has gone forth. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been preaching the gospel. And blind Bartimaeus has amazing sight. Although he is blind, he has a great knowledge of the Lord. And if we have any knowledge of the Lord this afternoon, we must say it is all due to God, isn't it? It's all of the mercy of God. If we have any knowledge of him, if we have knowledge of sins forgiven, if we have a soul that's renewed, if we have newness of life, it is all owed to the mercy of God. So we read in the verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Now let's just consider this blind man, Bartimaeus, for a moment. Bartimaeus. We're told here he is the son of Timaeus. You notice there, Bartimaeus. Bar means son of. So son of Timaeus. Now Timaeus means highly honored or highly favored or highly cherished, we could say. And it's true, isn't it, of every child of God, highly cherished, highly loved, highly favored. But we think of this blind man, Bartimaeus. We don't know a lot of him. We know that it says of his father, he is son of Timaeus, one who's highly favored. But we don't know much about his parents, do we? I mean, he is a blind man. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, much care and due diligence should have been given to the blind, should be well looked after. It's not nice to see people begging. Does he have parents? I don't know. We don't know that. I'm sure he's had parents. Of course, all of us come into the world having parents, but are they dead? Well, we don't know. We don't know anything about that. But it's not nice that he's on his own, is it? Maybe his parents are dead. Maybe they just didn't care. You think of the man born blind in John chapter 9. And remember how the Lord Jesus Christ gave him sight? John chapter 9, how the Lord loved him and cared for him. And even when his parents saw that the Lord Jesus Christ gave him sight, it seemed that they cared more about what the Jewish leaders thought than the truth. How sad it was in that day when people had more respect for men rather than the Son of God. And how awful people can be. I mean, you wouldn't, if we've got sons and daughters, we wouldn't want them out begging on the streets. Now, maybe he resented. I'm sure he resented begging. And there's a sense in that, isn't there? I mean, if he didn't beg, he didn't get any food. He wouldn't eat. How difficult that must have been to beg every day for food. It does humble us, doesn't it, to think about people that have to do this. Well, we live in a sinful world. And sadly, many parents don't care for their children. Sadly, that's the case, but many obviously do. And we're so thankful, therefore, when we would have parents that look after us and cherish us. Every child ought to be greatly cherished by their parents. Well, what was life like for him? Well, we read, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. He didn't, I'm sure, want to be a burden on society. It seems that this man had faith in the Son of God. We read that here. Thy faith has made thee whole. But then, there you go. This is this man's situation. In Leviticus 19 and the verse 14, this is how God says, because people could be particularly cruel toward blind people in those days. This is how they were to treat the blind. Leviticus 19, verse 14, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but thou shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. People played horrible jokes on blind people. They would, as we read there in Leviticus, they would put a stumbling block before these poor people. Sickening, isn't it? Society is wicked. Men are wicked. People would curse the deaf. Well, you can't hear me, so I can call him all kinds of names. How wicked the world is. Well, one day God will bring everything into judgment, won't he? Wicked hearts of men. Also in Deuteronomy 27 and the verse 18, cursed be he that maketh a blind to wander out of the way. Oh yes, people would do that. Lead him down the wrong way. My friends, it's the last thing I'd want to do concerning your soul is lead you down the wrong way. But people would physically do this to others, but people spiritually do this today to others. They lead a whole church and whole congregations down the wrong way. And every one of us, especially those of us who have been given responsibility in God's word, will have to give an account before Almighty God. Well, here we have true, real blindness. And this was quite severe. He couldn't see, perhaps, his father Timaeus. Maybe never, well, we don't know if he was born blind, but certainly now he couldn't see the crowds. He couldn't see his father, couldn't see his mother. He never saw the sunsets, the sun risings, the flowers, the fields, the birds of the air, the beautiful things that you and I can see every day, and those things declare the glory of God. He couldn't see those things. And you know, The Bible tells us that the heavens and the earth declare the glory of God. And these things speak to us that there is a Creator God, that He has made all things, and therefore you and I are without excuse. Without excuse. Do we deny God? Although we've been given sight to see the wonders of His creation and everything around us, it's a solemn thing, isn't it? To whom much has been given, much will be required. Do we live in this world as if God is not? Well, blind Bartimaeus couldn't see. You see a whole lot more than he does with the natural eye. But what about your spiritual eyes? What about your soul? Are you blind to God? Well, there's a willful blindness, which the Bible speaks about, which people are born with, a willful blindness, because they do not want to see. You know, the Bible tells us that this world which we live in do not want to know the living God. The fool has said in his heart, not his head. It's not a matter of empirical evidence, is it? But it's a matter of the heart. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This man couldn't see a thing, but he believed in God. And he knew he needed mercy. He knew he needed the mercy of God. You know, we live in a world of utter darkness. And the plain truth is that the god of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And people also don't want to see because they love their sin. The Lord Jesus said, men will not come to the light because they love darkness. Well, let us think of this man, Bartimaeus. Not only was he blind, but he was a beggar. It must have been very difficult to live every day like this. To not know when the next meal we would have would be. To not know how we were going to cope in the next month. We need to give thanks for all that we have, don't we? And we need to praise God for all that we are given. Well, he was a helpless, blind beggar. But secondly, what about the spiritual sight of this man, blind Bartimaeus? Well, he had a knowledge. Notice his knowledge. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus. Well, the name there, Yeshua, that's where it comes from, Jesus. And that means really God saves. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And this blind man, he knew this. This is the one thing that was upon him. He wasn't crying, Lord, give me sight. That only comes in the verse 51. But Lord Jesus, thou son of David. He was recognizing and he knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was. How did he know that? Well, perhaps he had heard the scribes and the Pharisees reading the scriptures. Well, certainly they denied that the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed the Christ. But perhaps he had searched the scriptures. Perhaps he had heard something, maybe from youth. Or maybe he had learned something. Maybe he had gleaned something from somewhere, you see. He used what little light that he had, although his eyes were blind. The light of the knowledge of Christ had reached his heart and his mind, and he was appealing on that basis, Jesus, thou son of David. He was acknowledging that in that Jesus, thou son of David, here is one with great authority. And the Lord Jesus Christ has all authority. God had promised to David that one would sit upon his throne. Remember there in 2 Samuel 7:12, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Certainly Solomon would build a temple, but one after even Solomon would sit upon an everlasting throne. And there was something about the Lord Jesus Christ. All the wonders that he was doing was proving that he is God the Son, that he has power And he believed that this is the promised Messiah. And you see, this is so important, that when we come to Christ and we're seeing him in the script, what do we understand about the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is he? He's no ordinary person, is he? But he is God's promised Messiah. He knew something else. He needed mercy as a sinner. This is another bit of knowledge that he had. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know, that's what every one of us need. Every one of us, this ought to be our prayer. Mercy. You know, some people think and they pray like this, God, accept me. God cannot accept us for what we are. You know, I often hear people say that in the open air ministry. God, accept me for who I am. Well, God would never accept us on the basis of who we are, but on the basis of the fact that Jesus Christ would give his life as a ransom, as a substitute for sinners. And it is through the Lord Jesus, God's mercy comes through Jesus Christ. We are reconciled to the Father by Jesus Christ. We do not make peace with God. Let me make that very clear. Often people say that, and they say things like this, well, I've made my peace with God. You cannot make peace with God. The Bible tells us that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is all based on the grounds of God's mercy. God says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. God is not obliged to receive anybody. In fact, we all deserve his wrath. We all deserve his everlasting condemnation. The cry of every true person that has received sight like Bartimaeus, as blind as he may be in his eyes, he understood and he knew this one thing, that he needed mercy. You see, he saw that as his great need. His great need was not physical sight, was it? That was not his great need. But his great need was that God would have mercy upon him. And I pray that you might see that, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, to be your great need. To know that mercy of God that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may have peace with God. Because right now, the Lord Jesus, he says there in John 3, he that believeth not is condemned already. You stand in a place of condemnation because you do not have Christ. You are lost without him. And you stand right now as a condemned, as a guilty sinner before Almighty God. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Well, he didn't, you know, feel sorry for himself. He understood, maybe as even as a blind man, that, well, when we look at illness in this world, when we look at sickness, why have all these things come? We have illness. See, the world right now, of course, part of that's God's judgment. But we all have one illness or another, don't we? We all have some ailment. And we're all dying. Why has all this come? It's come because of original sin in Adam, but also our own sin. The Bible tells us we sinned in Adam. And Bartimaeus knew that as a result of the fall of Adam, and all in Adam, the result is sickness, deformity, and death. It's come to all. It's appointed unto man once to die. That's because he's a sinner. He understood that. And he, no doubt, took responsibility. He was a sinner. He had pride, no doubt. He had selfishness, no doubt. He had lust. You know, you don't need eyes to lust, do you? We're lust in the heart. Maybe he had a short temper. Whatever his sins were, they were there. And he's crying out, Lord Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. All that the sins of a blind man could have, he had. And he is asking for the Lord's mercy. He's not crying out, complaining against the Lord. You know, I often hear people, they want God. They just want God to fix a few problems in their lives. And that's all they see a need for God. Lord, I've got this problem. I've got my marriage is in tatters, or I don't have a job, or I'm sick. But you know, that's not our need, is it? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He didn't call out for money. I'm sure, as I said earlier, he probably despised begging. He probably longed to go to work and to earn a living and not be such a burden on society. But one thing his heart was burdened about was, Lord, have mercy upon me. At least that light had dawned upon his heart. Has that dawned upon your heart, that that is your great need? If you're not a Christian, that you need God's mercy? Think back on all the days of your life, if you're young here. Doesn't matter how old you are. You've come into this world as a sinner. And you owe a great debt to God. You know, our bodies are on rent, as it were. We have a soul, and our souls occupy our bodies, and that is a gift from God. And we owe God everything. We have a great debt toward God. And we cannot pay that debt. It's impossible. The sum is too vast to pay. There's no hope. Some people try to do this with their varied religions. You know, the religions of this world is all you must do, 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 do. And if you do this, you'll have that. There is nothing we can do to make ourselves right with God. It is all on the account of mercy. Throughout the Old Testament, this is what the whole of the Bible is teaching. And at least Bartimaeus understood this. He was a debtor to God. And he became a debtor to mercy. See the difference between a Christian and somebody who's not a Christian is just that. Every one of us are debtors to God, whether we like it or not. We live on his planet. We breathe his air. He has given us everything. But we are debtors to God. We come into this world unthankful, unholy, separated from God. And the Bible says, and in our iniquities, they carry us away. We go to the grave and we leave with a great debt. You may have a great career in life and earn a whole lot of money. But I tell you this, if you leave this world without the Lord Jesus Christ, you leave as a debtor to God who will never be able to pay that debt to God. In all eternity, you can never pay it back because you have sinned against an infinitely holy God, an infinitely glorious God. The wages of sin is death. And that death is separation, everlasting separation from God. And I ask you this afternoon, have you called upon God for the forgiveness of your sins and asked him to have mercy? And I'll say this, only those who really, by God's grace, will ever do that. But you see, you still got to do it. It's still incumbent upon you. You have sinned. But those who God truly has worked in the hearts, he's humbled them. And they come to this point and they see, don't we see that we're debtors to God? You think we came here by accident? No. Friends, we are debtors to God. And either the Lord Jesus Christ paid for our sins there at Calvary or he didn't. Does this not trouble you? It ought to trouble you. Some people say, well, I need to know whether I'm elect first. Well, you never know whether you're elect until you repent. You know you're a sinner. Everybody knows that. The fact of the matter is people don't want to repent. That's sin, isn't it? In itself. And God's people cry out like Bartimaeus, have mercy on me. That's salvation, isn't it? That's it at the heart of it. It's not only acknowledging our sin, but turning from it, calling to the Savior. Well, here he is. He's not asking the Lord to have pity on his blindness. But Lord, have mercy on me. Something else you see is amazing persistence of faith. Notice in the verse 48, and many charged him, this is as the Lord Jesus Christ is walking past, that he should hold his peace, that is, be quiet. And he cried the more a great deal. That is, the more he heard the crowd saying to him, be quiet, the more he cried out. Nothing was going to stop him. Nothing was going to discourage him. And I would say to you this afternoon, nothing in the whole world should discourage you from crying out to the Lord to have mercy on you. Because that is the one thing that you so desperately need, is God's mercy. Your friends, maybe even at school, will say to you, ah, there's other things to be occupied with. And maybe they might even say to you, well, you're not so important. Why should God have mercy on you anyway? Well, why not? He is the God of the Bible who says he delighteth in mercy. One thing the Lord delights in, to show mercy. I tell you what he doesn't delight in is people that think that they deserve mercy. People that think they deserve anything. We don't deserve anything, frankly, friends. We've got to come as beggarly sinners. We've got to be like Bartimaeus. He had nothing to give the Lord. And you and I, frankly, what can we give to God? Nothing. There's nothing I can give to God. There's nothing you can give to God. But there's one thing he can give. But he only gives it to humble sinners. And that's mercy. And so the more they cried out, the more he cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Bartimaeus, you see, had no rights to the Lord's mercy. He acknowledged that. And you and I, as sinners, we have no rights to God's mercy. He will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And as we come to him, we must come to him in that fashion, in that way. Seek him. Next, notice the Lord's response to this man who cried out to him. Verse 49, and notice this, is quite striking. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. What astounding words these are as we look at them. Think of this man. Look at him. He casts his garment aside. Many suggest that this garment maybe was used where perhaps they'd throw a coin and the coins were there. Maybe this was the only garment that he had, the only blanket that he had or anything like that. Well, he casts it away because really what he is saying is, as you look at this, the language here, and as you look at his actions, everything, it's showing that he leaves all that he has. The little that he has to get straight to the Lord Jesus Christ, he makes no hesitation to go to the Lord Jesus. And you see, that is your most desperate need. Your most desperate need is not to get another bite to eat, is it? What's your greatest need this afternoon if you're not saved? What's your greatest need? I'll tell you what your greatest need is to run to Christ. That is your greatest need. Because you know not what is on the morrow. You don't know if God's going to give you another day. And look at him with great delight. He just stops and he goes straight to the Lord. Stops crying out. And think of it here. The Lord Jesus, we notice here, and Jesus stood still. Think of it. Here's the maker of the universe. The maker of heaven and earth. He stops what he's doing. And he says, call for him. You see how gracious he is? And you know, the Lord in the same way. He doesn't deal with sinners any less. He is ready to receive those who call upon him in truth. So gracious, so kind. Think of it. The God of heaven. The God who is keeping this world spinning in its orbit. Giving us the seasons, the times, keeping your little heartbeat beating, and mine, he's ready to receive. And everything stands still. And it's quite interesting, isn't it? These men who were saying, be quiet, the one minute are saying, be of good cheer, in the next. Well, how fickle people can be. Men are like what we would call sycophants, you know. And I'm sure many of them were. But the Lord is very gracious, isn't he? Very gracious to his people. We read how he stood still for Bartimaeus, and he does. For all of his sheep, you see, because all of those who he died for are so precious to him, having borne their sins. And do you not think that he will wait? He will stop. Of course, he can do everything at once, but he has an ever-listening ear to those that cry out unto him. A God at hand, we read in Jeremiah, a God ready to pardon. Well, this is wonderful. Be of good comfort, they say, rise, he calleth thee. I wonder where you are as far as your heart is concerned this afternoon as you hear God's word. Is the Lord calling you? I don't know. But the thing is, God speaks from his word, doesn't he? He speaks from his word. It's interesting in the other gospel, we read of two blind men. But here one is singled out, Bartimaeus. And he knows his sheep. And the Lord says to all those who are his and they feel the burden of their sin, be of good cheer. If you are truly calling out and seeing your need of mercy, I say go and seek the Lord Jesus with all your heart. Call upon him while he is near. Draw to him. And so he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Well, he left what he had behind, and that's what we've got to do. Maybe things hindering you, I don't know. Is there something hindering you in your life? Well, there's nothing more important, is there, than the salvation of our souls? There's nothing more important to know that our souls are right with God, that our sins are forgiven. It's fundamental, first of all, that we see here that Bartimaeus knew himself to be a sinner. And he felt it. And he saw his need for Christ. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now let us look finally at what our Lord Jesus Christ then asks of him. And this only comes after, you see, this is very important, only after what blind Bartimaeus first of all asks for, and that is mercy. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Well, you see, having acknowledged that he is Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ here is willing to hear him, and his request here now is the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. You see, he knew that he did not deserve anything. Coming as a sinner, he knew he deserved nothing. But one thing he wanted was surely not just to see. And there's something else in this. The moment he receives his sight, what does he do? He doesn't take off on a mad career doing something else, does he? But we read that he went and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a picture of every true Christian, isn't it? When they come to Christ, they don't go off and live their own life. They say, thank you very much. I've received this and that. And well, they go and they follow him. Well, we read in the verse 52. Notice there. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He didn't go his way. He wanted to follow the Lord Jesus. He went and followed his Lord and Master. That was a test, wasn't it? The Lord didn't object to him following him. But he was so thankful, not only for that mercy that he'd received, because the Lord Jesus said, thy faith has made thee whole. Now that word whole means to be made anew, complete. That's what the word means in the Greek. It's far more than just receiving sight. But he was a new person. Of course, that faith had worked in his heart before. To know that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the proof of it now is that he will follow the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he should go. How gracious the Lord is to his people. He receiveth sinners. Those who see that they need the mercy of God. He shall not despise such people. And that lovely hymn of, "Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come." Well, maybe you're somebody that you don't feel any of these things. You don't feel that you need mercy. Well, you're as blind as Bartimaeus, really, aren't you? If you don't see that, you are spiritually blind. And therefore, pray to God that he might unblind your heart, that he might open your spiritual eyes to see your wretchedness before him. He is holy. God is holy. And you and I surely should know that we are great sinners. And if you do not see that, tell him you have blind eyes. Tell him you have a hard heart. If you don't feel like repenting, you ought to be concerned over that. You ought to be greatly troubled and pray to him, "Lord, I just, my heart's too hard. I don't feel these things. I know that I should do." And the Lord might just do that. Who can tell? As we read in Jonah 3:9, who can tell how the Lord will work? You know, many people, and I turn the analogy around here, who are blind, even if you try to tell them the beauty of flowers and things and wondrous things, because they don't see it, they won't believe it. But you know, our hearts can be so deceptive that we will refuse to believe things that are true to accommodate our own hearts. And that is wretched. Well, he followed the Lord Jesus. God gave him faith. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Notice, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You see, a new life, a new destiny. And now he's walking on that road, that narrow road. It's going to be a road of difficulty. He will have to identify with God's people. He will see the Savior suffer and he will see him die. But he will know that God makes peace through the blood of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, dear friends, God promised through the line and the lineage of David that he would have mercy upon sinners. And God always fulfills his promise. So that we read in the scriptures, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law, to redeem sinners under that law. And if we are without Christ, let me say this, we are condemned under the law of God. But Christ, the Bible says, is the end of the law for righteousness to all them that believe. He is the answer to the law's just condemnation against us, because he fulfilled the law. And he died in the stead of his people. And this is why the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus." And that's the great question. Are we under this mercy that is in Jesus Christ? If we're not, it's a terrible end. But you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And I pray that God might be pleased to have mercy upon your soul and give you the same faith that blind Bartimaeus had, and that he might also make you whole. To be made whole is to be made a new person and to be united to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, people might call you blind, for having believed upon Christ. You know, but I'll tell you this, I don't see how sinners could ever be reconciled to a holy God other than through his holy Son, Jesus Christ. I think you have to be very blind to believe that a holy God can receive sinners into a holy heaven without payment for sin. But we thank the Lord that in his great love that he loved us, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life through him. Go home and cry to God in all sincerity of heart, Lord, have mercy on me. Two men in the temple, one a Pharisee, one the tax collector. One man went home justified, the other not. One man said, I thank God, I'm not like other men, I do this and I do that. But one man said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Lord said it was that man. May we find that peace with God through the Lord Jesus. May he open up our eyes to our own hearts, and may we see our need for him. And if he has done so, may we rejoice in God this afternoon, that whatever happens in this world, we have peace with God. We may not have much. We may not have riches. We may even be blind. But the Lord has at least opened our eyes to see Jesus, the Son of David, and that he has had mercy on us. Let us pray.